Welcome to the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, where we pop the champagne to celebrate the unexplored joys and endless adventures that await us in the midlife. Flipping the script on what it means to hit those fabulous 40s, 50s and beyond. Because here, we don't believe in midlife crises, only midlife revolutions. Reminding you that the only thing we're letting go of at midlife is the notion that it's all downhill from here. Nope, we're here to climb higher, dream bigger, and laugh louder. Each week, we'll dive into the myths, share the truths, and unlock the secrets to making the midlife years your best years yet. From rediscovering lost passions to embarking on new adventures, we're covering it all. Expect candid conversations with inspiring guests who've turned their midlife years into their most dynamic chapter yet. We're talking to everyone from entrepreneurs who've launched successful startups, from their kitchen tables to adventurers who decided age is just a number when it comes to climbing mountains or sailing the seas. So if you've ever found yourself pondering, is this all there is? Or you're just eager to embrace the richness of midlife with both arms wide open, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's show the world that life doesn't just begin at 20, it begins again at midlife. And remember, in the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, the only rule is to live confidently, love unconditionally, and laugh uncontrollably. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Life Begins at Midlife. Today I have a lovely, exciting guest with us, Alan Watts. He likes to be called the love engineer. And I'm going to open up the floor for Alan to tell us a little bit more about who he is and why he calls himself the love engineer. So welcome, Alan.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, a couple of great questions there. I am a dating and relationship coach based in the middle of England, and my disastrous dating career followed by a marriage to a lovely lady who we just didn't have get on and didn't have the same values, and she also had to have a few narcissistic tendencies. So that ended in divorce, and that sent me on a journey of discovery and discovering myself, but also a deep desire to really understand how relationships should work, why they don't work out, and what we can do differently to get better results. And the term the love engineer came from a sensual and spiritual retreat I did back in 2018. And over breakfast, I think it was on about a third day or something, one of the facilitators asked me what I did. And I said, well, I'm a truck engineer, but I'm learning to be a relationship coach. And he sort of sat there and looked up at the sky and come back to me after about 30 seconds, although it kind of felt more like a lifetime. He says, from truck engineer to love engineer. And I thought, I'm stealing that.
Yeah, that sounds great. I like that. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, being a truck engineer to being a love engineer, that's quite a transition that you've gone through, you know. So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. When I speak to people about it, they sort of say, oh, that's so different. Well, okay, it might be in that you go from working with physical metal things to people that are flesh and blood and have feelings and all sorts of other things that are all unique. But at the same time, when you take a vehicle to a garage, then you either want something fixed or something created. And it's just, I still do similar things. I help people create the kind of relationships that they truly desire, or help them fix the one that they've got.
It's an interesting way of putting it, hey? Yeah, and you've got tools in the toolbox, and whether they're actually physical spanners and hammers or whether they're your current tools that you're using, they're still tools that you use to be able to help people to, or trucks, whichever one, to be able to work better and to function and provide the service that they're meant to be doing. So that's great. So as far as the relationships and do you find that there are quite a when people are approaching midlife, that there seems to be more of a period where you might be questioning whether this is really what you want for the rest of your life. Do you find that quite a bit?
Absolutely. And there are many different influences, shall we say. One is, have you got children? Another is, are you in a relationship? What's going on with your career? Because so often we go through school and hear the get a good education, get a good job, and you're sorted for life. But then you get to that point where you start questioning everything, and is what I'm doing because my teachers told me it would be a good career for me. Am I doing it because my parents thought it would be a good idea? Did I want to do it then, and do I still want to do it now? And all these different things influence us in such a big way because we spend so many hours at work. And then within the relationships as well, as life changes, we change, our partner changes, and unless we've got that deep level of communication, then it's very easy to drift apart and point that finger of blame at our other half because they've changed. But we don't always look in the mirror and say, how have I changed? How have I contributed to this situation?
Yeah, so what you're saying there fundamentally is the communication between the two people needs to be of such a high standard, or where even though you are both changing, you keep on communicating to each other so that you're both aware of what's going on for the other person.
Yeah, and that communication actually has two sides to it. There's the communication itself, as in how I'm speaking to you, but then are you comprehending what I'm saying? Are you getting the message? Because communication, where if we're talking face to face, only 7% of the communication is the words that we use. The rest of it is body language and electrical or emotional stuff, and I think it's about 95% of it's unconscious anyway.
Yeah.
So we get a feeling of something and then try and consciously try and, well, what does that feeling mean? And that's going to be affected by our own mental state at the time.
And also things that we've been through in the past, that can
Absolutely.
affect, how we interpret what a person says, because we're coming at it from our own, frame of reference from things that have happened and how we've interpreted things from our past. So something that you might say to me, I might have a completely different understanding from my frame of reference, maybe living in a different country or a different part of the UK, for example, to somebody who I'm speaking to. So
Yeah.
it's very important to if you are unsure, to clarify with the person, or maybe even as a person that's speaking, to say, oh, I'm not quite sure that that person's actually fully understood what I have actually just said.
Yeah.
Do you have an example that comes to mind that we could use for the listeners to demonstrate some of that?
Well, first thing up that comes up for me is that men and women communicate very, very differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's the way we're designed. It's almost like you can have an Android smartphone and an Apple smartphone. They're both the same. They can both do the same things, but the operating system is different. If I try to operate my girlfriend's Android phone the same way as I use my iPhone, I'm not going to get on very well. And understanding those differences makes a big difference to the whole communication thing anyway. And even if both of us had an iPhone, that's great. But we've got different apps in there. We've got different memories in there. We've got different photos in there. And we put the apps in different orders and all sorts of things, but we expect the other one to be the same. And it doesn't work. So back when I was married, if I heard my wife say, I'm fine, my man programming says, okay, cool, go and do whatever. There's nothing I need to do, which is great.
Because
But
she's there.
that's not what she
I'm
means.
fine, yeah.
I'm fine, but I want you to ask deeper questions and find out what's really going on, because that's what a woman would do. That's what my girlfriends do.
Yeah.
But because we're different, it's a very, very different experience. And now with my current partner, because I understand these differences, like a couple of weeks ago, she's a high school teacher and she had to do a presentation to some of the staff for a change she would like to see implemented. And a lot of the other staff didn't receive it too well. So she was in a lovely mood when she came home. So I thought, okay, she obviously needs me to listen. She's not fine. So just let her talk and let her talk and let her talk. And then I think it was about, I got home at 6 and about 10 o'clock at night, she says, "Ah, I need to email Katie. I feel better now." Okay. Well, what would have happened if I said to you like 3 hours ago, "Why don't you just email Katie?" She says, "Oh, you'd have been shot."
Yeah, absolutely. It's that processing that, you know, women might need to do. And yeah, there are some men as well out there that need to just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And it's about knowing the other person, what their needs are at that given time, and being understanding for that. And sometimes it might be to just leave them be, to watch a bit of mindless telly and just decompress until they're ready to actually have a conversation about whatever it is. And it doesn't mean that they're shutting you out or ignoring you. It is just in that moment their way of processing. But if you go there and say, "Oh, but tell me what's going on, tell me what's going on," that just makes it even worse. You know, it's like, well,
yes,
yeah, if you need me, but I'm going to give you some space to, you know.
And they may also have an avoidant attachment style as well.
Absolutely. So then that's a whole nother conversation.
It is indeed.
Gosh, yeah. It's, relationships are a very interesting conversation here, because it's not just intimate relationships, it's also then the relationships with other members inside that the family dynamic. Because, you know, if it's you and your partner and then you've got, you know, children, it's how everybody plugs together and the dynamics that goes along then. And how do you handle that situation if someone needs to go and sit on the couch and decompress, but the child actually needs to speak to that person? You know, it's all sorts of interesting things that
come yes
up.
Yeah. And then the one thing that often gets overlooked is the relationship we have with ourselves, because we take ourselves to every single relationship we go, whether it's business or work or home and family. You have one head and one heart, and you take both of them with you. So if your relationship's a mess, it's going to affect how you show up at work. And if your work life's a mess, it's going to affect how you show up at home. And then if you're going through one of life's challenging situations, whether it be a divorce or menopause, or being with somebody that's going through menopause, that changes the dynamics all over again.
Yeah.
And we don't come with an instruction manual.
Or children leaving home, because that changes the dynamics as well. Because somebody might be experiencing empty nest. The other person might be thinking, "Oh, thank God they've gone." You know what I mean? It's all those dynamics that come into play as well.
Or retirement. It's another one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bereavement. Someone in the family passes away. Someone close, even if it's a friend or something like that. It's all those things that we deal with as we go through life. And and as you pointed out, that the relationship with ourselves, if we don't have a good relationship with ourselves, it's almost impossible then to expect to have a good relationship with everybody else around us.
Absolutely.
So if you were speaking to somebody out there who's going through midlife, and you could offer them one thing to consider, you know, with regards to relationships, what would that be?
That would be go within, because we have all the answers we need within ourselves. A lot of the time we just don't look there, or we don't know where to look. Because we are actually born with a strong sense of intuition and inner guidance. but the way society and culture operates these days, that gets squashed down when you're a child. And you start using your head instead of your heart, where the heart's actually a stronger brain than the one in the head. But the whole school system and family systems that we've been conditioned with in the early years, we all work up at the top here.
Yeah, girl, we try and think ourselves out of the situation instead of, you know, turning off the head and dropping into the heart and sitting in that space and, you know, in that silence, if that's what it is. Because so often we try and fill it with something, whether it's something on our phone, whether it's a new podcast, whether it is a TV, drink, whatever, something, you know, we try and fill that space, you want to call it a void or whatever you want to call it. And it's in that space where you actually find connection with yourself and the answers, as you said.
Yeah, if you don't stand still long enough, you're never going to see the answers anyway.
Yeah, it's almost like you're running away from something. So if somebody is finding it difficult to be able to sit into this space on their own because they've been so conditioned to, you know, thinking their way out of everything, is that something that you work with people to do?
I can do, yes. The keys with things like that is to start small. Don't sort of think, okay, I'm going to sit here and meditate on this topic or whatever it is for 3 hours. And after 30 seconds, you've got thoughts all over the place and you sort of think, oh, well, I must be doing it wrong. Well, no, you're not. Those thoughts are never going to come, never stop coming. It's being able to just sit in the presence and observe those thoughts, but not necessarily hold on to them and go down all the rabbit holes that follow along with them.
Yeah, it's just seeing them go past and just, okay, I acknowledge you, I hear you, I see you, I feel you, whatever it is, but not getting stuck into, oh, you know, that's come up and why has it come up and all that kind of thing, just allowing it. And then once that, I think I found that once that initial sort of burst of frantic thoughts go past, it's almost like they, I wouldn't say they're quietened down, but they become a little less obtrusive or like a little bit less, you know, in your face. They're there, but you tend to notice the ones that you really need to notice, the ones that have got the answers for you. But you need to go through that whirlwind almost of everything coming out at you first, and then it settles down a bit after.
Yeah, it's a little bit like sitting at the train station. You don't have to get on every single train that goes into the station, and some of them don't even stop. You only get on the train that's taking you where you need to go.
Absolutely. And if you realize you've gotten on the wrong train, you can get off at the next station.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not something that you have to then, you know, stick with it and go down that road. You can, you know, catch yourself in the moment and say, right, that thought's not really the one that I need to be focusing on. Let's get back to stillness. Let's get back to focus and have a look at it from there.
And I think the other thing people need to remember is it's okay to ask for help.
Yes,
even if you're a bloke.
Absolutely. That's a big thing. And I've seen posts recently and spoken to quite a few women who are in business, and even as a woman, they're too embarrassed to ask for help because they're under the understanding that I should have it all together. That if I ask for help, people will think that I'm not good at what I do. But you can be good at what you do by helping other people, because that's a different thing completely to actually needing your own support. It's like taking a car out and not ever filling it up with fuel or taking it for a service. You know, you need to maintain yourself, and you need the support as well to deal with the things that we are going through as people that are supporting others.
Yeah, we all take our cars to get them serviced to prevent breakdowns. But when it comes to relationships, I've got this.
Absolutely. Yeah, only time we, after a while, you've been with someone for a little while, the only time you start making a bit more of an effort is when you think, oh, the things aren't going as well, he she's not, paying me as much attention
Yeah.
anymore. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, I better up my game, and we shouldn't get to that point where we wait for something like that to happen. It's something that, needs to be maintained. Same as the relationship with ourselves. We need to have
Absolutely.
regular, check-ins, regular fun times with ourselves, whether it's doing a hobby or whatever it is that is purely for ourselves, not, because so and so in the family likes doing such and such, we're going to go and do that with them. It's like, what is it for me that I want to do and not feel guilty about it?
Definitely.
Great. So, how can people find you if they're wanting to? And I see you've got a in your background there. You've got a podcast as well. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about your podcast? And then what I'll do is I'll put all the links to all your bits and bobs in the show notes so people can come in and find you.
Yeah, the podcast is called Relationship Revolutions, and that came out of, well, part of my own journey of discovery, talking to couples who I thought had a great relationship and sort of digging into why their relationship is great and how they overcome challenges and things like that. And also talking to various experts or listening to them. And that's what I do on the podcast so that other people can get that as well. So we've talked about all sorts of relationship dynamics and challenges and things like that. So that's on YouTube, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. And the easiest place to find me, I would say, would be to go to my link tree, which has links to the podcast and all the social media website and everything, which is linktr.ee/loveengineer.
Okay, perfect. So you've kept the love engineer as the golden thread through the lot. I like
The
that.
moment, yeah.
Oh, well, I like that. Anyway, so thank you very much for coming on to the show today. It's been lovely having you, and I'd like to get you back at some point and we'll talk a bit more in depth about, different relationships and the dynamics that go on in in there for the listeners.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely. Thanks, Alan. As we wrap up another episode here at Life Begins at Midlife, we want to take a moment to extend a heartfelt thank you to our sponsor, Jackie Bourne, for Purpose Unleashed. Jackie's commitment to empowering individuals on their journey of self-discovery and transformation truly aligns with the spirit of our show. Whether you're navigating the challenges of midlife, seeking clarity on your next steps, or simply looking to live a more fulfilled life, Purpose Unleashed offers the guidance, tools, and support you need to turn your aspirations into reality. For those of you feeling stuck or at a crossroads, remember, it's never too late to redefine your path and embrace the life you've always dreamed of. Visit Purpose Unleashed website to discover how you can start your transformative journey today. Let Jackie be your guide to a more vibrant, purpose-driven life. You can find this link to the website in the show notes below. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with us. Remember, every day is a new opportunity to grow, to love, and to make a difference. Until next time, keep striving, keep dreaming, and keep listening.